Hey everybody, I'm going to take a look today at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 16 through 24. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So these passages, of course, come from the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, among other things, is Jesus' masterclass on life. Jesus is, in the Sermon on the Mount, showing us what true goodness looks like, what a truly good human life looks like. And it's good in every sense. It's good for others, it's good for God and His glory, and it's ultimately good for us. And in this section in particular, I think there's sort of a common theme. Jesus talks about fasting, He talks about treasures, He talks about our eyes, or what we set our eyes on, our attention, and He talks about what we're devoted to. And in all of them, I think it's helpful for us to see Jesus as a compassionate teacher. In fact, I would fast forward to Matthew chapter 11 when Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you." Jesus is essentially here saying, "Listen, I love you. I don't want you to give your lives to something that can be taken from you. I don't want you to seek rewards that don't matter. I don't want you to give your attention to things that you will regret giving your attention to." We need to see Him as compassionately and wisely helping us see the way to live that is ultimately truly satisfying. So Jesus in this section is not against rewards. He's not against treasures. He's not against devotion to something. He wants to show us how to give ourselves to something that will be truly rewarding, something that will be truly valuable, something really worth attending to, a master that really deserves our attention. And that's what He's going through in these sections. So He says, first, don't fast to be seen by people. I think we get this. It's pretty clear that Jesus is dead set against a lot of tendencies in religious life. One of the biggest is conformity and doing what we do because it's what the group does or because we want to be seen by people in the group for doing that. And Jesus says, no, you really need to have deep down your motivations oriented around one thing. You know, it's good to get praise from a parent. It's good to get praise from a teacher. But Jesus is saying the most important praise to get at the root of everything is the praise of my Father God. He says, that's all that matters. That's the praise in life that matters. And you want to live for that because we are creatures designed to desire praise. C.S. Lewis calls glory fame with God. All of us desire fame. But fame with people is fleeting. But fame with God or appreciation by God, that's what really matters. And Jesus wants us to know the joy and the lasting fulfillment of the Father's pleasure. And so He encourages us not to not fast, not to not give money to the poor, or not to not pray. He says, but you need to learn how to guard that place in your heart that you do these things for God your Father in secret, to be seen by Him and to be seen by Him alone. Likewise with treasures. Jesus knows that we desire good things. He knows that we were kind of made that way. And He's just telling us that when we set our hearts, when we treasure and we give our time to things that can ultimately be taken from us, they will break our heart. And he's encouraging us to give ourselves, give our time and our value to things that can never be taken from us, things that matter with God forever. We might say the good deeds that God made us, remade us in Christ Jesus to give ourselves to, those things that really matter to God. He says they can never ultimately be taken from you. And so we should examine in our lives those things that can be taken from us. And obviously, most of that is possessions. We might say it's our possessions, our image. And again, he says, what you need to treasure things that last forever. And again, he tells us this because he loves us. He doesn't want us to get the disappointment of having treasures that can be taken away from us, taken from us. He next moves on to the eyes, and he says the eyes are the lamp of the body. We might paraphrase this to say your goals. What are your goals in life? And this is something that all of us should examine. What ultimately are our goals in life? What will we get to the end of our lives and say, I'm glad I gave my attention to that? The lamp is sort of the image of, maybe we could put it in our terms, a flashlight that you put in front of you, that it's what you give your attention to. In Psalm 119, David, or the psalmist, says that God's word is a lamp unto his feet. We might translate it this way. For Jesus, what he set his eyes on, what his goal was in life, was to find out what his Father's will was, his Father's desire was, and to give himself to that. And he says when we do that, it has benefits, not just sort of quote-unquote spiritual benefits, but it brings health and wholeness and unity to the whole of our lives. We're not torn and battered and going in different directions. It's a goal that's worthwhile. Finally, he ends with mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some translations have money. Mammon just means property. But Jesus is bringing out, once again, what we're devoted to. He is saying if we're devoted to property, things, and it doesn't have to be a lot of things, right? We sometimes mistakenly think it's having a lot of things. Hey, a poor person can be just as devoted to mammon or things as a rich person. But the question is what we're ultimately devoted to. And Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. I like to point out that Jesus is not saying he won't let you. He's saying it's impossible, that the nature of our lives is to be devoted to one thing at bottom. This is, after all, why the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what Jesus is saying here. But mammon is this spiritual force. Jesus is saying it's not just the money in your pocket. It's everything that comes with money. Everything that we think comes with money, the ability to secure our lives, the ability to be respected in people's eyes. Again, he's saying that our primary devotion in life should be to love God and to love him supremely. And Jesus himself, I want to point out that in all of these things, Jesus has put his money where his mouth is. When Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus goes through this about 3-year ministry of his that we see in the Gospels, he has, before that, for 30 years of his life, prayed to his Father in secret, fasted to his Father in secret, given money to people in secret. He has treasured the things that matter to God and given his attention to those things. He has treasured the Father's word and given his attention to learning the Father's teaching because he knows that that is worthwhile. And he has loved his Father supremely. And so I want to suggest in all these things that he wants to share his joy with us. One way to look at the Sermon on the Mount, we often look at it as, man, that's really hard. I don't know if I can do it. I want to suggest, like he says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus has this great joy of living life as it ought to be lived. And he is trying to invite us into that joy. And so I want to suggest that we should receive these words as an invitation to joy, an invitation to the great peace and joy that Jesus lived in and wants us to know. So may we, through Jesus, seek the praise that matters alone, the praise of the Father. May we seek the treasure that lasts, the things that are important to the Father. May we give our hearts and our minds and our attentions to the things that are truly worthwhile giving ourselves to, the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, and anything else that comports with that. And may we be, by the grace of God, single-minded in devotion to our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.